From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome to Let the Bible Speak. Continuing these studies in the life of Christ, Dr. Alan Cairns is preaching a message called The Risen Christ in the Midst of His Disciples. The resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead is the foundational truth of Christianity. In spite of the objections and arguments of unbelievers, skeptics, and liberal theologians, the resurrection stands as one of the best attested facts in human history. As we'll see, Christ was no less sinless in death than he was in life. Although he submitted himself to the power of death, he retained the power to recall his soul and to rise from the dead, something which only God could do. In rising from the dead, Christ guaranteed eternal life to those who trust in him. Before coming to the message, Dr. Cairns brings today's hot topic, Another False Prophet Bites the Dust.
America has no monopoly on religious charlatans and nutcases. Peter Kuznetsov is the leader of a Russian doomsday sect called the True Orthodox Church. Kuznetsov and his followers reject such things as processed food, and they regard barcodes as satanic symbols. We used to hear more of this kind of nonsense over here, but it seems to have died down everywhere except among a few deranged individuals. Peter Kuznetsov went much farther than holding a few nutty notions. He set up as a prophet of the Lord and prophesied that the world would end in May 2008. He and his followers made their preparations for the end. During November 2007, 35 of his followers barricaded themselves in a cave near a village some 435 miles southeast of Moscow. They threatened to blow up gas cylinders if officials tried to force them to leave. When spring floods caused part of the cave to collapse, 24 of the cult members left, but only a few adults remained to await the end. As you will have guessed by now, the world did not end in May 2008. That brought deep and terrible depression to Peter Kuznetsov, and according to news reports, he was so downcast by the failure of his prophecies that he tried to commit suicide by hitting himself on the head with a log. Cases such as this are so bizarre that we're tempted just to smile. But they're not funny. Kuznetsov has done himself a great deal of harm, and he has ruined the lives of his followers. Worse, he has brought the cause of Christ into disrepute and has held the serious truths of Bible prophecy open to public ridicule. This is always the result when men take it on them to do what the Bible says cannot be done, and set the date of the end of the world. A few years ago, Harold Camping stood in an influential position as the head of Family Radio, and brought great shame to the cause of Christ when he set the date of the Lord's return, and obviously was altogether wrong. Amazingly, many people seemed to like being deceived. Camping went quiet for a while, and then launched another zany theory to try to get people out of all churches and into fellowships ruled not according to what the apostle set down for New Testament churches, but according to his own ideas. And he based all this on a system of interpretation so bizarre that one wonders how on earth he ever came up with it, and even more, how anybody could ever fall for it. Everyone who has ever set a date for Christ's return has been proved wrong. Every so-called prophet who has brought an alleged message from God specifying a date has been proved wrong. The Seventh-day Adventists came into being on the back of a failed attempt to date Christ's return. So did the Jehovah's Witness cult, which is emphatically a group who are not witnesses of Jehovah. Peter Kuznetsov ended up banging his head with a log. We can do better than that and fill our heads and hearts with what Peter called the more sure word of prophecy. Christ is coming. The age will come to an end. This much we know. And we know what we're supposed to do with this knowledge, namely to purify ourselves, to watch, wait, and evangelize the world with the gospel of sovereign saving grace. Let's leave the lunatic fringe to itself and get on with the job that the Savior left us to do.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We want to say that we're greatly encouraged by the response of you, our listeners, to these broadcasts. We appreciate the letters, the emails, the phone calls that we've received from so many of you, some wanting to say thank you and telling us how much the Lord has blessed your heart with His Word, some speaking of life-changing experiences found through the preaching of the gospel. Some have written to ask for the literature that we offer here on the program. We want to remind you of the Let the Bible Speak audio magazine. This is in CD or cassette form and is similar in content to the Let the Bible Speak quarterly magazine, containing some of the articles of great spiritual interest as well as sacred music that will point you to the Lord Jesus Christ. You may have a copy of Let the Bible Speak audio magazine simply by writing to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Again, that's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the program, you may like to join us on our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget that little word, radio, ltbsradio.com. We hope to hear from you and that you'll join us on our website this week.
He lay under the power of death, subject to death. And here is the deepest part of his humiliation. Here is the Prince of Life, and he is lying in a cold tomb under the power of death for 3 days. But yet, and this is one of the most fascinating aspects of the mystery of the person of Christ, in that 3-day period, his flesh saw no corruption. Now think of what that tells you. His body was as sinless in death as it had been in life. That's one thing it tells you. But there is something even more glorious here. Death did not reverse the incarnation. What do I mean by that? At the death of Christ, his body and his soul were separated. He said to the Father, "Into thy hands I commend my spirit."
That's death, the separation of a human body and soul. But in the incarnation, God the Son took into a personal and irreversible union with Himself a human soul and a human body. So that even in death, the Son of God was not separated from His human soul. He was not, should I rephrase that more theologically correctly, He was not brought to the place of breaking His union with the human soul. But neither did He break His union with the human body. Actually, when you stop to think of this, it lays to rest a very ancient heresy regarding the person of Christ. There were heretics in the very early church who taught that the deity of Christ took the place of the human spirit. But Jesus, when He died, said, "Into thy hands I commend my spirit." You will see, and this is very important, you will see that the deity of Christ, while it held that body in union with itself, was not the animating force of the body. The body was dead, even though it was yet in union with the Son of God. It was the human soul and spirit that animated the body, not the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. You ask me, how can I explain that? And I will tell you quite honestly, I can't. But it has a wonderful sidelight here on one of the great truths about the person of Christ. And that is on His sinlessness. The Lord Jesus Christ not only did not sin, He could not sin. Why do we say He could not sin? That doctrine that theologians call His impeccability. Why do we say He could not sin? Because in everything, body and soul were in union with the second person of the Trinity. And while the deity of Christ was not the animating principle of His life, while His temptation and His sinlessness were real human experiences, yet because of the union with the Son of God, that human soul and that human body could never enter into any experience that would bring the person of Christ, including His deity, under the charge of sin or corruption. You see, what I'm saying is this. Such is the union of God with man in Christ, that though the Lord Jesus lived as a real man, was tempted as a real man, overcame sin as a real man, and died as a real man, and was buried as a real man, though that is all true, yet such is the union with the deity that no corruption of either soul or body could ever touch Him. He is the absolutely sinless Savior. In the grave, He saw no corruption. See that as a miracle of grace and power. When Lazarus was 4 days in the grave, he not only had seen corruption, but his body was already stinking. Already. Stinking. 3 days in the grave, and the body of Christ was as incorruptible and uncorrupted as the day He came from the Virgin's womb. We serve a sinless Savior. And then He rose from the dead. Here's Christ in death. I was almost going to have you sing that other old Easter hymn this morning, but I get you to sing it every Easter and every other time I can. I thought some of you would say, here he goes again. Up from the grave he arose. We may end up singing it before we're finished, of course. Up from the grave he arose. Death could not hold its prey. Jesus, my Savior. He tore the bars away. Jesus, my Lord. And up from the grave he arose. Now, what does that tell you about Christ in relation to death? Let me give you it in the words of Hosea the prophet. Verse 14 of the 13th chapter in Hosea. I will ransom them from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from death. O death, I will be thy plagues. O grave, I will be thy destruction. Repentance, or turning back, shall be hid from mine eyes. There you have three wonderful descriptions and pictures of Christ. He is the destroyer of death. In the words of William Williams, the great Welsh hymn writer, well, his words were in Welsh, but in the translation, he is the death of death and hell's destruction. That's one of the most glorious descriptions of Christ you'll ever get. He is the death of death. He is the destruction of hell. And here you have it in the words of Hosea the prophet. O death, I will be thy plagues. O grave, I will be thy destruction. He is the destroyer of death. Consequently, he is the redeemer of sinners. I will ransom them from the power of the grave. Only one who died and rose again can ransom dying sinners from the power of the grave. It's foolish for any religion to promise anything. Do you ever stop to think of this? When you think of all the religions in the world today, think of all the philosophies, think of all the opinions, think of all the things that men are promised by religions and religious leaders. It's all hocus pocus. It is 100% a folly, blinding men to damn their souls. Because listen, no religion, be it Islam, Buddhism, Confucianism, Taoism, any other ism, no religion can promise any man anything. Men are dying. Men are going out into eternity. And for them it's a one-way journey unless there is someone who has actually conquered death, come back from the dead, and now as the Prince of Life says, I have destroyed death, I have destroyed the grave, and I am the giver of life. He is one to listen to, but nobody else. Nobody else. And without a Savior who died, conquered death, and rose again, religion is a total, absolute farce. Let's understand that. For anybody to trust his soul to somebody who has no more power over death than himself is absolute folly. I mean, men can come and tell you when you die this happens or the other thing happens. How on earth would they know? Why would their opinion be one whit better than your opinion? How would they know? But there is one who knows. He is the God of eternity, come down into time, who died and rose again, the destroyer of death and the redeemer of sinners. Let me remind you this morning, we're all sinners. And let me remind you also, we're all dying. You're within one heartbeat of eternity. You are not just going to die, you are now in the process of dying. Understand that. Trillions of your cells are dying off every single day. You are a walking cemetery. You're dying. And you need someone to redeem you from death and hell. Is there anyone can redeem a dying sinner? Thank God there's one who shed his blood, who paid a ransom for your pardon and for your salvation, and who rose again a conqueror of death and the grave and of hell. That's why Peter later said, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We are here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at faithfpc@freepres.org. That's faithfpc@freepres.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.freepres.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free, 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us once again as we let the Bible speak.